We've grown to appreciate and love Brother Morris. And let's give him another warm welcome to Ceres, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Brother Frazier. And my wife said, tell you hello, all of you, that all of you, but especially those she's had the opportunity to meet, left her home shell in peace. Amen. Putting up our vegetables, produce. Well, we're having a time, aren't we? Thank God for His presence and the way that you're worshiping the Lord. And that's what makes a difference, is when people will worship, praise, and magnify God. Amen. Our God loves to be worshiped and praised for that He has done. You know, everything that hath breath is commanded to praise the Lord. That old drunk staggering down the street ought to praise God that he's not in hell. But he can't worship God. Only his children can worship him. Hallelujah. Because worship is a thing of the Spirit. Amen. And I believe we've had a little worship here tonight as our spirit has made contact with the Spirit of God and we've worshiped Him in spirit and in truth. It's so good to be back. I do appreciate the opportunity, the invitation to come and be with you. These, I believe I'm going to be here through Thursday night, four nights, in your great camp meeting. And I'm just excited about what God is doing in this hour. Not too excited about this world. Not at all. But I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Our God's good. Did you know that? God is good. You know, I was telling our church, you just want to know how good God is. Lots been said tonight already about the tithe. Gas, $4 a gallon. Tithe is still just 10%. God hadn't went up a bit. Amen. Tithe still just 10%. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad to know that I'm a child of God. Born again, washed in the blood, heaven bound. I want you to turn tonight. We're going to just get right into the Word of God. It's been a long day. I had to get up early this morning, get on that jet, and made it here. We got in here just a few minutes to six this afternoon. But He is our strength, and He is our help. And it's not by might nor power, but it's by His Spirit. But tonight we're going to the book of John, chapter 3, chapter 7, and then chapter 19 of the book of John. The book of St. John, chapter 3, chapter 7, and chapter 19. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for another opportunity to be with the people of God in this place. We were blessed when we were here before. We look forward to coming again. And we're asking you, God, again to pour your Spirit out on us and help us. Touch me, Master, and enable me to preach the gospel. I ask you tonight, kind God, that the preaching of the gospel will not be hindered by infirmity of the flesh, but you'd touch my body, that you'd touch my mind, my spirit, and allow me to preach to this people tonight in a way that it would prosper every soul. Touch every heart tonight, every ear to hear, every heart to receive, every spirit to cultivate by faith, the Word of God, that it would be a blessing in every life. Bless this Master, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. St. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The seventh chapter of the book of St. John, now if you turn with us there quickly, and we're going to read beginning there with the 45th verse. John 7 and 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, accursed. Listen to verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And verse 53 said, and every man went unto his own house. Then we go to chapter 19 of the book of St. John. John chapter 19. And there we'll read beginning with verse 38. Scripture said, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, but for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. Came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, listen, which at the first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. They, Joseph and Nicodemus, took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein never was man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. I want to preach to you tonight this message that God has impressed upon my heart about this man named Nicodemus. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the day that Nick got saved. The day that this man's faith brought him into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. In this message, I'm going to endeavor to show you three levels of faith that we find ourselves in as God deals with us. But only when we come to that faith that we can believe and establish a relationship with God are we saved. There are many in this world tonight that have a relationship with God, but it's a limited relationship. Although they believe there's a God and they believe there's a Christ, yet they are not believers. They have never given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ and trusted Him as their Savior. Some would say, preacher, how can you believe and not be a believer? Does not the Scripture teach us that Satan himself believes and trembles, and we know he is not saved? They believe that they've never come to that place to believe that He is the way, the truth, and alive. Hallelujah. They refuse to identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Refuse to take on that identity. But tonight, I want to lead you higher in that faith that you can walk out of here saying, I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah. Do you want that tonight? Our brother in the sound booth, I've about got a gift. If you would help me just a little on this monitor here, and that till we get these tonsils loose, we'll be all right. I preached so hard yesterday and last night. I want us to come to the place that we can walk out of this tabernacle tonight saying, I am His and He is mine. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. There are three places in the Bible that Nicodemus has talked about, and tonight I've shared with you all three of them. There's one thing that we see in each passage of Scripture concerning this man Nicodemus. Each one of them reminds us. The first one tells us that Nicodemus came to Christ by night. The other two remind us of the fact that this is that man that came to Jesus by night. Amen. Now, why did Nicodemus come at night? I can tell you. I know there are those that would soft pedal the gospel, and they would tell you that Nicodemus was so busy, that he was so occupied, and that he didn't find time to come until the sun had gone down. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible reminds us of that truth in all of these passages of Scripture to let us know that Nicodemus was ashamed. Nicodemus was embarrassed. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus did not want his Pharisee buddies to see him talking to Christ. That's exactly right. Nicodemus was a politician. The Bible said he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a politician. And politicians live by votes. And votes come by public opinion. And I want to tell you, Jesus didn't get elected to anything because public opinion was so against him that they crucified him. And Nicodemus knew that if he wanted to keep his position, if he wanted to keep his office, if he wanted to keep his place, then he must not allow himself to become identified with Christ. But yet, in spite of that, there was something about this man Jesus that was drawing Nicodemus to him. Oh, hallelujah. No man cometh to the Father except my spirit draweth him. And so Nicodemus, even though he's a proud politician, he's a proud Pharisee, but there's something about that man Christ that's saying to Nicodemus, come unto me. Listen, am I not talking to somebody in this house tonight that even though you have not come to the place to make a full commitment to God, you have not come to that place, but yet there is something there about this man Jesus that will not let you go, that will not turn you loose, amen. But he keeps calling, and I want to say thank God that he keeps calling us, and thank God that he keeps drawing us. Nicodemus was compelled and felt compelled by the Spirit of God to talk to Christ. But how do you do it? How do you talk to Christ and have a relationship with Christ and keep all your buddies from knowing about it? So Nicodemus came to Christ by night. He exhibited a faith in Christ. He said to Christ, he said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus had a faith, number one, that I want to talk to you about tonight that was based on observation. He had a faith in Christ based on things that he had seen. He said, no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. I'm not exactly sure all of the miracles that Nicodemus saw, but I do believe that he was at that wedding feast in Cana of Galilee that took place in chapter 2, and he saw Christ turn water into wine. He saw a miracle as he sat at that feast, and Christ turned water into wine, and he said to Christ, I believe because of what I've seen. I want to say to somebody tonight, if you look around you, you've got to say there's a God. If you look around you, you've got to believe in the power of a creator. How did the mountains get here? How did the hills get here? How did the rivers get here? How did the birds and the animals get here? Dear God, how did you get here? We've got to believe in a God. You observe the birth of a baby. 1 minute that baby's in a watery womb, very close to being a tomb. And the next minute it's taking a breath, filling those lungs with air. What a miracle. You may be in this house tonight. You may have friends and loved ones that are full of the devil. They're full of sin. They're full of evil and iniquity. But they've seen enough to let them know there's a God. Come on, somebody say amen. I was raised in a pastor's home. Been preaching the gospel since I was a teenage boy. But I can tell you one thing. If I'd never been to church a day in my life, I'd have to believe there's a God. Come on, say amen. I said I'd have to believe there's a God. But ladies and gentlemen, a faith based on an observation, it's not enough to save our soul. But we believe like Nicodemus that there's a God. There's one of our old gospel hymns that we sing, used to sing more than we do now, that said each day the sun comes out to shine. The moon and stars, they leave on time. The winds, they blow. We listeth where we breathe the living air. The flowers grow and do not toil. They do not spin the work at all. The birds, they live and get their care. There must be a God somewhere. There must be a God somewhere. Nicodemus said, the things that I've seen makes me believe that you have come from God. But Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Just believing in me because of the things I do is not enough. You must be born again. Changed. Come into a relationship with me. You must identify with me. Then quickly we go to chapter 7. And we see Nicodemus again involved with Christ. But this time, the Sanhedrin court is incessant. The Supreme Court of Israel, they put on their black robes. They've taken their seats at the bench of justice. They have decided that this man Jesus must be put out of business. So they call to them officers, those judges of Israel, that Supreme Court, that Sanhedrin, they call in the sheriff and his posse. And they say, you go get that man. and bring him to us. We're going to put him on trial. We're going to shut his mouth. In a little while, the sheriff and his posse came back without Christ. You want to arrest him, sir, until God's time comes. And those old judges, I see them, you know, Nicodemus and the rest of them, Joseph of Arimathea, were persuaded, was also a member of that court. Had on their black robes, their old gray wigs. Oh, dear God, they were a fine looking group of fellas. And when the officers came in and they noticed Christ was not with him, they said, "Why have you not brought him?" Their answer was this: "You can't arrest a man that talks like that man talks. Never! Never," they said. "Never man spake like this man." What did he say? He said to the cripple, "Rise up and walk." What did he say? He said to the blind man, "Open your eyes and see." So they came, and the members of that court were so angry. Their commandment, their edict had been disobeyed. They looked at those officers and they said, "Are you deceived? Have any of the rulers believed?" And then this is what they said. They said, "We're going to try him anyway. We're going to put this man Jesus on trial, even though he's not here." It's not a quote, but you read it and that's what you get out of it. But then Nicodemus, he had a faith in chapter 3 that was based on observation. But now that faith is going to rise to another level. And as that court attempted to pass judgment on Christ without him being there to witness for himself, Nicodemus said unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night," did one of them, "doth our law judge any man before it hear him?" Nicodemus said, "You can't do that. We're going to try him anyway in his absence." But Nicodemus said, no, our law won't allow that. Nicodemus participated in the defense of Christ. And that faith that chapter 3 was based on observation, now that faith had grown to the place that he could participate. And now he has a faith that brings him to the point of participation. He participated in the defense of Christ and said, "You can't do that. You can't condemn him without hearing him." There are people out there in that world that has a faith based on observation. They've heard a bird sing and they know there's got to be a God. They've seen the birth of a child and they know there must be a God somewhere. But there's people in this building tonight, our faith has grown to the point of participation. While we mow the yard, we clean the toilets, we sweep the floor, we vacuum the carpet, we work it. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Don't shout, but you know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Thank God for those that will participate. Can somebody say amen? I'm led to say tonight that some of you participated in the singing. Oh, dear God, but I'm not sure that you're willing to go out of here tonight and tell your friends that you're a child of God, that you've been born again. Hallelujah! Amen. Had a faith based on observation, but now he's got a faith that's risen to the level of participation. And when they said, "We're going to condemn him anyway," he said, "You can't do that." My God, thank God. God for folks that participate in the work of God. Now listen to me. Then they asked Nicodemus a question. He said, "Are you one of his disciples?" He had faith based on observation, but when Jesus said you must be born again, he said, "I can't understand that," and he went home. Now his faith has risen to the level of participation, but all those other judges look at him and say, "Are you his disciple too?" And would you notice there's a silence? And the scripture said every man went to his own home. We appreciate what you do, but that won't get you to heaven. We're so glad that some of you believe enough to participate, but that won't get you there. Because even though his faith has risen to the level of participation, he still refuses to identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. "Are you one of his disciples?" And it falls strangely silent. And the scripture said every man went to his own house. Let me tell you something, Mr. It's one thing to jump and shout in the aisles of this tabernacle, but it's another thing to go out there in this world and separate yourself from this world and let the world see Jesus Christ in your life. We have reduced this thing tonight under where religion is some kind of participation. It's some kind of exercise. Let me tell you what religion is, ladies and gentlemen. Religion is being born again, becoming a new creature, and walking out of here and letting the world see Jesus in you. He had a faith based on observation. Now he's risen to the level of participation. And then we go to chapter 19. Darkest day this world has ever known. Said the darkest day that this world has ever known is the day that crucified Christ. That same crowd that cried, "Crucify him," a few hours ago was crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. They broke palm leaves and strawed him in the way and shouted, "Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But many of those same people now are crying, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Give us, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house." Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. The darkest day that this world has ever known was the day they crucified Christ. This world went into cataclysmic convulsions when they nailed him on that cross. The sun was ashamed to shine. The sun hid its face, and the darkness covered the face of the earth. The rocks began to shake and began to reel. The Creator had been crucified. My God, somebody listen to me. What a day, what a day. The graves began to burp and to belch out the souls of some of the saints that had been buried. This world had gone into those convulsions at the crucifixion of Christ. But then all of a sudden, Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished." It is finished. You remember that story. Christ was not crucified alone, but there were two malefactors crucified with him. One on the right and one on the left. The Roman soldiers broke the bones in the legs of those two men. And they would die before sundown. They didn't break any of Christ's bones. They couldn't. His bones were unbreakable. that can drive nails in its hands and feet, pluck the beard from his cheek, put a crown of thorns on its head, beat his back to a pulp and pierce his side with a spear. But they can't break his bones. His bones are unbreakable. You want me to tell you why they're unbreakable? Because the Word of God said no bone shall be broken in his body. Didn't say they can. Oh, say amen. And if the Word of God said it won't happen, it won't happen. Hallelujah. Because God takes care of His Word. But they died. Now if you'll get this picture with me in your mind, you've got to use for just a moment now as we preach this a few minutes here, that marvelous capacity of imagination. How many of you have got an imagination? Sure we do. Every pain is a cancer. Every whisper that we hear coming from somebody's mouth is a criticism toward us. Come on, say amen. So this part ought not be hard because we all have that imagination. In your mind tonight, I want you to see that hill called Calvary. Three men on that cross, those three crosses. I believe it happened this way. The Word of God doesn't say it, but you know, I just believe this is the way it happened. I believe we're led to believe this from just what we know. If we get to heaven and you find out it didn't happen this way, come down to my mansion and I'll apologize. But the person responsible for the body of the dead is the next of kin, right? So let's just imagine for a moment two old men, rough looking dudes, oh man, ragged, dirty, haven't had a bath in a while. You just see them, the heathens, that's what they are. They walk up to Pilate and say, Pilate, sir, could we have the body of that man on that left cross? He's dead. Yeah, he's dead. We'd like to have that body to bury it. And Pilate would say, what right do you have to that body? We are his brothers. We are the sons of his father. His father is our father, and we beg permission to take his body off of that cross. And Barrett and Pilate said, permission granted, and those two old scraggly looking heathens go up there and take that thief off of that cross. And Barrett, same thing happens to the one on the right. And it leaves just the one in the middle. Brother Fraser, there's nobody to claim it. His disciples are gone. His brothers, the children of Mary and Joseph, don't believe in him. And there's nobody to claim that body. Till finally, two men stepped up and went to Pilate. The Bible said it was Joseph that actually did the talking. But Nicodemus was with him. They went to Pilate and begged the body of Christ. And I can hear Pilate in my mind say, what right do you have to that body? We're his brothers. His father is our father. And old Pilate pulled those glasses down and looked at him and said, what'd you say?
Yeah.
He said, his father is our father. and understood it all. But somebody's got to do it. And he said, permission granted. Now, can we preach a little here? Observation. Participation. But we're about to see identification. A crowd is gathered that day to watch that crucifixion. They're all standing around to see what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, they see two members of Jerusalem Supreme Court, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, start up that hill with a bundle of rags and some bottles of spices. Come on, somebody. And I want to tell you, that crowd began to look at one another. They begin to look strange and say, what in the world are they doing? And I tell, oh dear God, that hill, they've got on that black robe that identifies them as a member of that court. They've got on that little dinky hat, you know, that identifies them as one of Jerusalem's elite. I can imagine the Chief Justice of the Jerusalem Supreme Court cried out and said, Nicodemus! Joseph, what are you doing? We're going to take that man's body off of that cross and bury it. You have no... Oh, yes, we do. His father... Listen, and I can only imagine. Now, that old Chief Justice said, listen, fellas, you can't wear that robe if you're going to go up there and identify yourself with that man. Nicodemus said, let me tell you something, Your Honor. If I can't wear this and be the son of his father, then I'll just lay this aside. Come on, somebody say amen. My God, will you listen to me? Nicodemus, you can't wear that little beanie hat you got on if you're going to go up there and claim kinship with that man. And I see him jerk it off and throw it down and soap it up and said, if I can't wear this and identify with him, then you can't hold your position. You can't have that job. And I hear Nicodemus say, listen to me. You take that position. You take that job. You find somebody else. Because today, I'm identifying myself with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So now, a faith that started with observation and that rose to participation has now risen to the level of identification. And Nicodemus is singing, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say that tonight? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there are too many of us that would say, I'll be a child of God if I can hold on to this. I'll be a child of God if I can hold on to that. I'll be a child of God if I can keep this or keep that, this habit or that habit. I'll be a child of God if this, if that. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of the Jesus of the gospel. My God, somebody give him a hand clap of praise. I said, I'm not ashamed. I want you to know that Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I said, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And Jesus is the sweetest thing that I know. I must ask somebody tonight, does Jesus embarrass you? You said testified in this house tonight. What you going to do when you go to school? He said, if you're ashamed of me in this world, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. God's talking to somebody tonight. You want Him. But you want Him in that robe too. If I can't have Him in this, I'll throw that down. Can you say it tonight? I see them now as they march up that hill. They get that old bloody body off of that cross. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He's covered in blood. Oh, I see them, brothers, when they laid that old cross down. They borrowed a crowbar from somebody and got those old spike nails out of his precious hands and his precious feet. It had to happen this way. Maybe. I can see Nicodemus kneel down by that old bloody body. Picks up one of those bloody hands. Lifts it up. And folds it across his chest. Then I could almost see him. Stand to his feet and hold up his hand. And he says, Joseph. Joseph! Something just happened to me. What is it, Nick? Joseph, do you remember one night I came to your house about midnight? And I was so confused till I didn't even know which direction the sun was coming up. And I told you that I knew that man was from God because I'd seen him work miracles. But he didn't make a lick of sense to me. Because he told me I had to be born again, and I told him I couldn't figure out how a man my age could get back in his mother's womb and be born the second time. But he said, Joseph, I think I know now what he was talking about. Because as soon as that blood touched me, I feel just like a brand new man. Does anybody in this tabernacle know what I'm talking about tonight? When that blood touched you, you became a brand new man. I'm not talking. Oh my God, come on, somebody. No, Joseph looked at him and he said, Nick, I got to tell you something, boy. I've never seen the look in your eye that I'm seeing. How many of you know that you can look in a person's eye? You can look in the face. You can look at a countenance and tell when a person has been born again. I remember the intensive care unit in the hospital in Laurel, Mississippi, when I led a man to Christ. He prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him, but just before he passed away in a few days, he was gone. But as he asked Christ to come into his heart, I saw something change in his countenance, and I saw something change in his face. And I walked out in the waiting room and told his family, your father just got saved. Your father just gave his life to God. I've never seen you look like that.
Yeah.
He said, Joe, I've never felt like this. You know what I feel like, Joe? When I get home tonight, my wife's going to have a brand new husband. You know what I feel like, Joe? When I get home tonight, my little boy's going to have a brand new daddy. Wow, come on, somebody. Anybody in this house remember the night you were touched by the blood, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ, and you were born again? My God, say, oh, hallelujah. 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 My God, I don't know if it happened or not, but if it didn't, it ought to. Oh, Nicodemus went to singing. Perhaps if it didn't, he ought to. Went to singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If he didn't sing that, surely he was singing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a Lamb. My God, my God, somebody help me preach just a little bit here. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get willing to identify with him, then he'll touch you with that blood. He'll wash you with that blood. The sin is gone. You're gonna, God, somebody praise him. And then you'll know the joy of the Lord. Who is it tonight? You've got a faith based on observation, participation, but you've not yet identified with him. And even though you know the joy of singing a song and clapping your hands, you know the joy of spending a work day at the church working all day on Saturday, you know the joy of being a part of the church picnic, but you really don't know the joy of sins forgiven. You think it feels good to cut grass for Jesus? Just wait till you feel like you feel when your sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer who asks me where they are, I just say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Hallelujah. I said, anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? The joy of identifying with Christ. The joy of sins forgiven. Nick, I wish I felt like you did. Nick, I wish I knew what you know. Whatever just happened to you, I wish it happened to me. He said, Joe, why don't you pick up that other bloody hand? Come on, somebody. So faith that started out by saying, there's got to be a God somewhere. A faith that rose to the level that says, I'll help you, Lord. Now it's risen to the point of being identified with Jesus Christ. God's talking to somebody in this house tonight. You love him. You respect him. But you've never allowed him to change your life. You can testify of how God healed your body. You can testify of how God took care of you in trouble. But can you testify of a night that you know, that you know, that you know, that your sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Can you sing that old song tonight? From an honest heart that says, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King. The first time he came by night, he didn't want anybody to see him. The second time he was given an opportunity to confess that he was a disciple of Christ. But he fell silent and went home. But the third time, in the face of all the world, he accepted Jesus Christ and said, his Father is my Father. Father in heaven, I want you to take the words of this message tonight. And I want you to use it for your glory. I don't know the heart of these people, God. And they don't know mine. But God, maybe there's some we don't even know our own hearts. Maybe there's some, God, that think just because they believe there's a God somewhere that that's all it takes. God, there may be some that believe that just because they participate in the religious activities, that's enough. But God, it takes more than that. We have to identify ourselves with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the Holy Ghost to settle over this place tonight with a stillness and a calmness that can only come from God. When we feel the Spirit settle, has it settled here tonight? God, we do know then that You're talking to us and that Your Spirit is speaking to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name. As our sister plays softly on the organ, I want you to stand with me tonight. All over this building, and I want you to bow your head and ask yourself this question: have I ever come to the place in God that I can identify with Christ, that I'm not ashamed, that I'm not embarrassed? I sat out on that jet this morning, or this afternoon, no, this morning, flying out of Gulfport, Mississippi, by a young man in uniform. I said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Iraq. First time, no sir. This is my third trip to Iraq. His name was Brian. I said, Brian, I looked at him. I said, I appreciate what you're doing, man. Appreciate what you're doing for our country. But I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I looked at him and I said, do you know Jesus? The phrase, I couldn't bear to think of a young man going to Iraq. And he turned his head and looked at me and he said, I sure do. For the next hour on that jet, we sat there and talked about our God. And a lady sitting in front of us, first time she'd ever been on a plane, she was a nervous wreck. She turned around there and looked at us and wanted one of us to hold her hand. I didn't volunteer and he didn't either. But I said, ma'am, talk to Jesus.
You'll hold it. That's right.
Talk to Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? I want to be identified with my Lord. Because one of these days, brother, I want Him to stand and hold my hand and look in the face of God our Father on that throne and say, Father, this is one of mine. This is one of mine. I want Him to identify Himself with me. Bow your heads. God's talking to somebody tonight.